Welcome, and thank you for taking the time to listen to this inspiring message from Andrea Thompson.
I am so excited to be getting together today. I have my tea and Bible in hand, and I am ready to go. Thanks for inviting me to spend this time with you. Today we are going to embark on a journey towards a healthier you. There are 12 keys that I have implemented that have in many cases changed the course of my life. My prayer is that they will be life-changing for you as well. But before we get started, let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this time. We invite you in this place as we meet together towards a healthier life that you have given us. We thank you, Father, for the words and the knowledge. And we just pray that these keys would be easy to implement and exciting to those that will be getting started. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, feel free to grab your pen and paper and follow along, or you can use the downloadable reference notes that we've made available to you. The first key to a healthier you that we're going to talk about is releasing your past. You know, you cannot move forward in life clinging to the things of the past. What worked for you then may not work for you now. I tell people it's not a wagon you fall off of. It's the fact that you and I will resort back to old ways and behaviors when we are triggered and have not moved into victory from past hurts, pain, and failures we have experienced. For those of you that would remember cassette tapes, my husband tells me when something in me is triggered by the pricking of an old wound that may not be completely healed yet, he would say, "That is an old tape. Remove that one and put a new one in." I guess these days it would be CDs. I would like you to look at a passage in Isaiah chapter 43. We're going to read verse 16, 18, and 19. And I'm going to use the Voice translation for this. "This is what the Eternal One says, the one who does the impossible, the one who makes a path through the sea, a smooth road through tumultuous waters." Then verse 18 goes on to say, "Don't revel only in the past or spend all your time recounting the victories of days gone by. Watch closely. I am preparing something new. It's happening now, even as I speak, and you are about to see it." I feel it's so important to understand that not only does God assure us this isn't his first rodeo, that he has done this before, but not only that, he is promising that he will do it again. God is qualified to handle your struggles, dreams, and your desires to move forward. For some reason, we have a tendency to forget what God remembers and remember what God forgets. When God forgives us and restores us, he wants us to forget the failures of the past, witness for him in the present, and claim his promises for the future. His word says, "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the old things." Hear me on this. There is nothing wrong with thinking of the past, recounting experiences, whether good or bad. But when we gear our present and future on those, we will have a tendency to get stuck, disappointed, and frustrated if we keep trying to live from behind. Brian Houston said it right. Your significance is in what's ahead of you, not what is behind you. Another thing we need to consider is that we age. Our bodies change. Our body chemistry changes. Life happens. The changing of seasons in our life. Maybe the way you lost weight 10, 20 years ago doesn't actually work anymore. Hormones change. The stress level in our lives change. Your career, having children, financial responsibilities that you didn't have before. Maybe you are or have been a yo-yo dieter like I was. And now your body has had to adapt to the changes it has gone through. Maybe you have been on 1,000 different diets like me and even come up with a few originals of your own, and you didn't quite see them through, and now you or possibly your family has in some way or another labeled you a failure. You need to let that go. Failing is a learning experience so that we can do better next time. There were many biblical leaders who failed, but did they dwell on them? No, they learned from their mistakes and they kept on moving forward. Determination and failure leads to success. You fail and you get back up and you try it again. Eventually, you will get it right. Just ask Thomas Edison. When you give up, that is what I consider failure. For a good man may fall 7 times and get back up again, according to Proverbs 24:16. So I want you to know this. Your battle for true health is ultimately in your mind, not your body. So on that note, let's move to the second key, which is make a plan and find your why. I've heard it said, a goal without a plan is just a wish. Goals require 4 things. I call them the 4 D's: devotion, direction, determination, and discipline. These 4 D's are for another teaching, but when you have them, it makes achieving your goals very possible. And with that, let's talk about finding your why. Because once you make your plan and have a roadmap to achieving and attaining your goal, you're going to need to know your why. Every day you are working towards your goal, I will tell you, it will not always be easy. You may feel the urge to give up. You may get tired. You may lose your drive, whatever it is. And it will be in those times that you will need to draw upon and tap into your why. There will be days where you will need to overcome laziness, old habits, addictions, destructive thinking, cravings, and you will need something to help your mind stay focused on the ultimate goal. Before I got into full-time ministry, I worked as a physical therapist, assisting people to be able to function in everyday life with the movement of their bodies. Whether they had experienced an injury, a surgery, disease, illness, or whether it was age-related, I learned that 60% of my job was psychological and 40% of my job was physical. I didn't quite understand this until I worked in a skilled nursing facility and when I was diagnosed with cancer. I could remember going to work and walking into a room where a patient was lying down, and the last thing they wanted to do was get up and walk with me. Some of those people just lost the will and hope of it all. Maybe I'm speaking a language you understand right now. It was my job to get these beautiful people up and moving. So on some very difficult days, I needed to tap into what would motivate them to want to get up and walk. I needed to find their why. There were many days, and sometimes they creep up every now and then, when I am tired and I'm thinking about every meal and every supplement that I have to take. But I have to tap into my why. Maybe you are stuck. Maybe you have lost your motivation. Maybe you have no clue why you are doing what you are doing and why you should even stick with it. For some of my patients, it was to go to their child or grandchild's wedding. Sometimes it was to be able to go sit at the dinner table with others and enjoy a meal with community and not alone one more night in their empty room. For me, I had to ask myself, why did I want to fight and beat cancer? And so I just wanted to share a few of my whys with you. I want to live without fear of disease or death. I never want to be faced with cancer again. I want to be able to live a healthy, active lifestyle for my family and be able to pass that on to the next generation. Oh, and let me tell you, I wanted my hair. That was huge for me. But I also want to be able to serve God and His people with an audacious, healthy, bold, active, alive approach. And to be all that He called me to be. And not to have any hindrances with what He has entrusted me with on this earth. And giving 100% to the ministry that He has given me. These are just a few of my whys that I tap into. I feel this would be a great time to ask God right now. Maybe some of you have never done that. But just take a chance and see what is the first thing that comes to mind and write it down. And this is going to help you to identify your whys. There's not a right or wrong answer. Write down whatever comes to mind. Just do it right now. I'm going to wait a second. I'm not going anywhere. And so now I want to share with you the third key, and that is embrace being uncomfortable. All right, it's going to get a little uncomfortable, but it's all right. As much as anybody, I get what it's like to be uncomfortable. For those of you who have listened to my teachings on renewing your mind and your pain has a purpose, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And if you haven't listened to those yet, I highly encourage you to get them. Each of my teachings continue to build on one another and will really bring lasting transformation while you journey and navigate through your life and purpose that God has set for you. Making a positive change in any area of your life is not always easy. It will be hard. It is uncomfortable. Your response to being uncomfortable will determine your victory. Having the mindset of embracing rather than resisting the situation or season that you are in will have extraordinary results. I love what Michael Phelps said. I think goals should never be easy. They should force you to work even if they are uncomfortable at the time. As someone who was an athlete myself, I so appreciate this statement and I get it. Been there, done that. If we want to embrace being uncomfortable, we will need to adjust our way of thinking. Believe it or not, sometimes we get too comfortable and we stop seeing growth in our lives. We can get too comfortable in our workplace, our marriages, our friendships, our finances, the way that we parent, and even our physical health. I love working out. And with that said, it's not easy. It's hard work. It requires discipline to stay with it and be consistent. Getting healthy is not a sometime thing. It's an all-time thing. I laugh when people ask me, well, how long should I eat healthy for? Or how long should I have to work out for? And I'm not meaning like at one particular time, but I'm meaning like for the rest of your life. And I tell them, as long as you want to remain healthy, every day that you choose to be healthy, that is how long you should do it for. I have come to learn, in order to embrace the uncomfortable in the seasons you are in, you will need to detach from certain influences that are keeping you from moving forward toward a healthier lifestyle. Even within our own families, the people that you might be hanging out with, people that we follow on Facebook and Instagram, you may need to unfollow because it is causing you to stay in a comfort zone, or it's causing you to feel ashamed and defeated because of comparison. And that, my friend, is very unhealthy. When we resist the uncomfortable, it will hinder us from our true potential. The last thing I want to say about this key point is this. I remember early on in my taekwondo training, my instructor caught on to the fact that I would pace myself. I thought that it was to make sure that I would get through the training. And for that day, part of it was true. But I found when I paced myself, it was more comfortable. I wasn't so out of breath. I didn't feel like my hips and my legs were going to fall off. And I surely didn't feel like I was going to throw up from my heart pounding out of my chest. But I will never forget, she walked over to me and she said, "You will never grow, never become more proficient, and never succeed to your potential if you stay at a comfortable pace." I remember she walked off and turned back and looked at me with that famous pointing finger that she had, and she says, "Now push yourself and move beyond your average." I can't think of one person in the Bible that stayed in their comfort zone to embrace God's ultimate destiny for their lives. Can you? I mean, not Abraham, Joseph, not Peter or Paul, Esther, not even Deborah or Daniel. I mean, I could go on and on. Oh, hey, and what about Joshua? I mean, how many times did the Lord need to tell him to be strong and courageous? In order to get to your promised land, you will need to embrace the uncomfortable. My question for you is this: what areas of your physical health is God asking you to be uncomfortable in? And this actually leads me to the next key to a healthier you. And that is to detox your life. Yep, step number four, key number four is detox your life. And this is so key to any healthy life. It's important that we detox our mind, body, and spirit. But for this teaching, I want to focus on the physical detox. My other two teachings on emotional health, I go through detoxing soul and spirit. But our bodies are full of toxins that have been gathering for years. There are things and substances that we ingest that our bodies just can't process. They are foreign invaders in our bodies. We're actually not designed to process them. And these build up in our cells, our organs, in the blood, and they begin to wreak havoc, all kinds of havoc in our bodies, and disrupt our normal healthy functions. I am not going to go into great length on this because I go into great detail on reducing toxins in your body in my ebook on overcoming cancer. It's totally free, so go sign up and get it. Listen, when one out of two men and one out of every three women, and when 43 children are diagnosed with cancer every single day, you and I are affected by this disease one way or another. So one of the things that I enjoy doing is being able to get into people's pantries and refrigerators and cabinets and clean house, so to speak. Yep, it's true. I get asked to do that. From toxic foods to toxic cleaning products to toxic toiletries that we put on our bodies, I will go in and educate people what to get rid of that's poison to the body and help them replace items with things that are good and healthy for them. It's fun to see the look on their faces sometimes, let me tell you, when I'm clearing it all out. But in the end, they thank me and they are much better off and well on their way to healthy living. I also find this is so important to do because you don't need anything hanging around that may cause you to revert back to old patterns and ways of thinking and doing things. For example, when you are getting off sugar, which is the number one cause of inflammation, which does in turn cause disease to your body, it's highly toxic, don't put the bag of sugar on the top of the shelf of your pantry in the way back thinking that you won't ever touch it again. I think about Elisha in the Bible, the story about how he burned his plowing tools in the book of 1 Kings so he wouldn't go back to the past. Well, I highly recommend that you do the same. Maybe for you it's not sugar, although the average person does consume 150 pounds of it in a year. But maybe for you it is those Instagram and Facebook accounts we talked about earlier. If looking at very fit, toned bodies has a negative impact on you, then delete it. That is toxic to your mind, spirit, and to your physical body. Maybe watching the Food Channel isn't the best option either, especially if it has something to do with baking and sweets. So clean out your kitchens, clean out your body, and anything else that may tempt you to go back to your old ways. I am all for cleansing and detoxing, but make sure you are being monitored by a naturopathic doctor or a certified health coach that can help meet your needs and detox safely. So with that said, the next key to a healthier you is foods to eliminate and foods to implement. You see, I've learned that it is about alteration, not deprivation. So I'm going to just give you like the top five things that we people, Americans in this world, put in our diets that I want to just talk about eliminating. And then I'm going to give you some suggestions on what to implement. Now, again, I am not going to go into great detail on this because I talk about that in my ebook on overcoming cancer, which you can download as soon as you get done with this teaching. All right, so let's just get sugar out of the way. Sugar, refined white sugar, brown sugar, organic sugar. Sugar is sugar. It wreaks havoc in our bodies. It creates inflammation in every organ system down to the cellular level. Sugar, no good. Gluten. Gluten is proteins in wheat that are irritants to your gut. The best way that I can explain it is they're like paper cuts or splinters digging into the lining of your gut, and it causes an inflammatory response. It makes these little hair tears in the linings of your tissues, and you can be leaking out poisons, and it wreaks all kind of havoc. So gluten, it's like glue to your body. I think of Elmer's glue, and why in the world would we want that inside of our bodies? Now, the third thing is dairy. Now, this one gets a little bit tricky, all right? So I'm going to tell you why dairy is something to take out of your diet, but that one isn't always black or white. Because unless it's organic and raw, some people can handle that. But many people are very intolerant to dairy. Now, when dairy is not organic, it is going to have all kinds of antibiotics in there and hormones, which we do not need and our bodies do not recognize. And by the way, gluten and dairy, they have the highest allergic reaction to our bodies. And some people are allergic to lactose. So I want to talk about that a little bit further when I'm talking about implementing dairy. The other thing is, it's really good to know your blood type. Some blood types can actually handle dairy and some cannot. Now, the fourth thing I want to talk about is caffeine. Oh, yeah, I know. Now you're probably sitting there with your coffee and looking at it and kind of pushing it away, but or maybe you're trying not to hear me. But hear me out on this, please. Listen, when you are fighting disease, cancer, whatever, you need to eliminate it completely for such a time. Otherwise, it's good to limit it. Now, if you're having adrenal issues, you really need to lay off the coffee for a while. But if you are in taking in coffee, I'm going to talk a little bit about the best kind of coffee that you can have. So, and I don't just mean that caffeine has to come from that. If caffeine bothers you through green teas and things like that, you just need to lay off of those until your body can come more in alignment with true health. And then the last thing that I want to talk about, but certainly not least, are the GMOs, those genetically modified organisms. Listen, your body doesn't recognize any of it. It is all man-made. And the thing I want to talk about that is and say is the more man touches it and manipulates it, the further from God it is. So make sure that the things that are genetically modified, you take out and you replace them with food made by God. So here we are to the implementing, because I'm not about deprivation. We want alternatives to these things. So when I say not to have sugar and you're saying, well, what can I do to have something sweet? I'm saying, go find you some 100% stevia. Go find you some 100% xylitol that's made with no corn added at all. Use raw organic local honey. Use organic grade B maple syrup. Now again, if you're fighting cancer or some other disease, the honey and maple syrup may need to be eliminated for a time. Gluten-free items, because we talked about the gluten. Remember, gluten-free doesn't mean sugar-free, so it's very important that you're reading labels. The best grains to use are non-GMO grains. They are grains that are organic, sprouted, and ancient grains like spelt. Spelt is a wonderful ancient grain. And alternatives to grains and gluten, if you don't want any of those things, would be nut flours, almond flours, coconut flours. You can use quinoa, gluten-free oats. And again, check to see what your blood type is, and you can go from there. Now, dairy. This gets a little complicated, but I'm going to make it pretty simple for you. If you are someone that loves dairy in your diet, then make sure it is organic. Make sure it's raw. You can use goat. You can use sheep. You can also do non-dairy milks like nut milks and hemp milk. But what I'm saying is just make sure it doesn't have the antibiotics and the hormones in there. But if you are a person that has a blood type that dairy doesn't work well, then eliminate it and use the other alternatives. Now, here's the other thing. Okay, so the caffeine, here we go. If you are going to do caffeine in moderation, like coffee, make sure it's organic. You need to understand that coffee that is not organic has all kinds of pesticides, herbicides, and tons of mold. Yes, I said mold on the coffee, all right? So just make sure that you're using a good organic coffee and you're limiting and you're doing it in moderation. You can also use herbal organic teas. All right, here's the other one that I wanted to talk about that I didn't put on the list, but it's alcohol. Listen, alcohol is a very high sugar content. They're empty calories, so if you're trying to lose weight, it's not the best choice. I know one glass of like red wine doesn't hurt. I know it has beneficial properties, but here's the deal. Disease of any kind trumps the beneficial properties for now. Anne Wigmore was spot on when she said, "The food you eat can be either the safest and most powerful form of medicine or the slowest form of poison." And with that said, we'll move on to key number 6. Hydrate, hydrate, hydrate. Can we say enough about water? Water makes up 2/3 of the human body, so it's quite important. And I just wanted to give you some benefits. There's so many benefits to water, but I just wanted you to hear me on this. Water moves blood. It allows red blood cells to carry oxygen more efficiently. So by doing that, you have increased muscular function and mental acuity. Water transports nutrients. It removes waste, flushes your kidneys. It helps brain function because water makes up 75% of your brain. Can you believe that? Water is essential for the body to sweat and release toxins. It lubricates your joints and lessens discomfort from arthritis and back pain. So next time when you're feeling that pain, reach for a glass of water before the Aleve. It aids in weight loss. It helps maintain your pH levels. It reduces the risk of kidney stones and ulcers. How about heartburn, migraines, and it regulates your body temperature. Water slows down the aging process. Okay, I know girls, I got your attention. While smoothing out your skin, it increases energy. It lessens addictive urges like alcohol, sugar, caffeine, and certain drugs. So if you are trying to eliminate those things that I spoke above, increase your water. It will help with the urge to want to eat or drink those things. You need water to flow in order to remove waste and toxins through your stools. I know you guys don't like to talk about that, but let me tell you, if your stools are hard and clumpy, it's a sign of dehydration. It's just a fact of life. And if you are one who is working on losing weight, a University of Washington study discovered that one glass of water stopped hunger pains for almost 100% of those study dieters. So the question is, how much water should you drink? Well, it's pretty easy. I'm going to make it very simple for you. All you do is you take your weight and half it. And that is how many ounces of water per day you should drink. So for example, if you weigh 140 pounds, you half that, and that's 70, you want to drink 70 ounces of water. Now, if it's the summer months or you work out a lot, you're going to need to increase accordingly, but you get the gist of it. If you feel tired, sluggish, constipated, cramping in your muscles, increase your water. More than likely, you are dehydrated. Other things you may need, we can talk about at another time, but get in your water. And one more piece of advice to help you get in all that water. If you drink 8 ounces of water upon waking in the morning, before your breakfast, before your lunch, before your dinner, and an hour before bed, you have just drank 40 ounces of the 70 you needed for that day, assuming you are the 140-pound person. Try it. Make it a goal to reach that within the next few weeks. And moving right along, key number 7 is move your body. Your body was created to move. It's how God created us. If we were meant to be sedentary, He would have made us to be a piece of furniture. I love to work out. I stated that earlier. Some days, though, I don't feel like it, but my body is needing me to move. I really do like this quote from Edward Stanley. It's bold, strong, and it's true. And he said this, "Those who think they have not time for bodily exercise will sooner or later have to find time for illness." I will leave that there and let you ponder that. Your body parts, like your heart, lungs, spinal column, arteries, and veins, all require movement. Many people have careers where they are sitting a lot, and this is where you need to find some sort of intentional exercise to do. Here is another reality. You only become more healthy when your cardiovascular system, that heart, the lungs, the blood vessels I talked about, are dealing with oxygen efficiently. It's important also to have a good ratio of muscle mass versus fat mass. I am also here to tell you that exercise is not only vital to your physical health, but also your mental health as well. My husband knows that if I missed a workout or two, he looks at me and says, "Hey babe, why don't you go take a spin class?" That's pretty much code for you need an attitude adjustment. Diet, these so-called miracle pills, surgery to cut off or suction out your fat, listen, it cannot be a substitute for exercise. Your body was made to move. In the world that we live in, we are so inundated with environmental chemicals, bad fats that we eat, processed foods, sugar, and a ton of the things that come at us that we don't even have any control of. But we need to exercise now more than ever. I personally lift weights and I love spinning. I also love doing what's called HIIT exercises, high intensity interval training. And I learned this from the Maximize Living doctors who created a DVD called Max T3. You can go look them up. But they created a 12-minute a day workout. Now, if you cannot find 12 minutes a day to work out, then you need to readjust your priorities, and I'm saying that in the most loving way. But working out like this, whether you're lifting weights, spinning, or doing these high-intensity interval training, your hormones regulate. You take an oxygen that we talked about. So find something you love. Make it fun. Be consistent. Find a routine. Go walk with your spouse, your friends, your kids, whatever it is. Pick up a class. Get with a group. Create a routine that will be lasting transformation of health through exercise. I mean, even the American Heart Association says 10,000 steps a day keeps the doc away. Be creative. You can do this. Now, key number 8 is to rest your body. So just as moving your body is vitally important for maintaining a healthy lifestyle, resting is equally important. For me, this is actually harder than moving. I have to get over myself and thinking that I am lazy if I rest or feel like I am wasting valuable time. Then I am reminded of this verse in the Bible where Jesus is speaking to his disciples. In Mark, the 6th chapter, verse 31, Jesus said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest a while." Now, I would imagine, and wouldn't you agree with me, that if we took a moment to think about our day and the demands, tasks, and responsibilities that we have, not only to get it done for our own personal needs, but also the demands that others place on us. And it sure seems like every one of those are urgent, important, and need to be done right now. And I'm sure you moms with children are shouting a big amen right now. But when we view our days like this, rest doesn't seem to be an option anymore. I tend to believe everything God's word speaks to us is truth and very important. So when Jesus says, "Come and rest," we should really take that to heart. But let's take a quick look at what benefits rest has to our bodies. It increases our energy levels. It improves our focus, and we're able to think more clearly. Our immune system is increased, which helps our body fight off disease and illness. Our breathing is better. Our blood is healthier. It improves blood flow to our muscles and ensures that we have a constant supply of oxygen. It will help to lower your blood pressure. And believe it or not, resting helps with emotional eating as well. So if you are someone whose emotions trigger eating, go put your feet up, drink a glass of water, and wait 20 minutes. Our central nervous system is able to relax. Our bodies will be able to absorb nutrients better. Digestion improves. Rest will also bring freedom from anxiety, panic attacks, troubles that you're going through. These are just a few of the multitude of benefits of rest. Times of rest and rest days are critical in maintaining a healthy life and a healthier you. Rest is a lost art in this generation, and I encourage you to take time to rest. If Jesus got a way to rest, how much more do you and I need it? I challenge you to prioritize rest for yourself. You will be amazed at what you will discover about yourself when you can silence the hustle and bustle of everyday life. I guarantee you will become a more loving and joyful person to be around as well. I will sum it up like this, the words from Priscilla Shire. Quiet time is not an excuse for the lazy, but a wise investment for the diligent. After talking about rest, it reminds me of another very important key to a healthier you. It kind of goes hand in hand with rest, and it's to rejuvenate your soul. So key number 9 is rejuvenating your soul. No matter where you are in your journey, you should be taking time to do what brings life to your bones. This life was not meant to be mundane and boring. And for this particular teaching, there are 2 things I want to say about this. First, I am so thankful for David in the Bible. He assured me that I am not crazy when I talk to myself. David often spoke to his soul. He faced challenges, tough situations, and ran for his very life, hiding in caves and whatnot. In this life that you and I are living in, we too face challenges, tough situations, a lot. 2 things that David did that sticks out to me at this very moment was how he strengthened himself in the Lord and how he spoke to his very soul. So I want you to turn with me to Psalms 103, and I want to read a few verses, and I just want it to flow over you and just get into the marrow of your bones. This is actually really a few good verses to memorize and have in your arsenal. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. In order to fuel our souls to bless the Lord, we should reflect on the Lord's benefits to us. Here is the bottom line with this. Sometimes you don't need to talk to your soul. You need to preach to it. Secondly, I love finding out what people enjoy doing. Usually when you are doing what you love to do, you are rejuvenating your soul. For me, spending time with my husband rejuvenates my soul. I love being outside. I love staring at my trees, the grass, the birds, and the squirrels that play in my backyard. I love the wildlife that comes on a daily basis to my property. Not the ones that eat all my roses and flowers, but you get my point. I am a beach girl. The ocean speaks wonders to my soul. Breathing in that ocean air, wow, I love it. I love reading, gardening. I love vacations with my family. Oh yeah, and they're shopping. Shopping rejuvenates my soul. Playing games with my friends and family. These are practical things that rejuvenate my soul. But here are some things that rejuvenate my soul as well. Living my life for one purpose, God's purpose for my life. Stepping into my calling and living out my dreams and desires that he has placed in me. Teaching on the 12 keys to a healthier you rejuvenates my soul. Watching people get set free from bondages, pain, and disease, that rejuvenates my soul. Reading the Word of God and spending time in prayer and my personal relationship that I have with Jesus rejuvenates my soul more than anything on this planet. So my question for you is, what do you do to rejuvenate your soul? Maybe you never thought the very things that you enjoy actually do that. Maybe you need to do them more often. I highly encourage you to make a list of things you love and begin to incorporate those into your life, and you will begin to experience a healthier you. We have looked at several keys to a healthier you. I love them all. I implement them all. But I must say, this next one gets me literally up on my feet. I get so excited about this next key because it has been so key in the success that I have had in my life with all kinds of circumstances, from my health to my finances to the ministry God entrusted me with to my relationships with my family and friends. I mean, I can hardly stand it. And this is key number 10. It's in finding your support team. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. I am coming out of the gate and saying this boldly. You need to gather a team of people who will radically raise the bar for what you are attempting to accomplish in this life. You need people who are great role models in different spheres of life, from people who are mentors and have paved the way successfully in personal growth, health, relationships, finances, parenting, Christian leaders, business owners, whatever it is that you're going through. Since moving to Redding, California, I have been exposed to some of the greatest groups of people who are excelling in life in a way that is so contagious, so exciting, and draws me to want to be part of it. One of my mentors told me, Andrea, if you are the strongest, smartest person in your group, you won't grow. He told me, and I am telling you, get with people who have lived more life, experienced the ups and downs, who are doing things that only you can dream of, who have been so successful. Get with those people. They are the ones who will teach you, build you up, and propel you to succeed in life. Man, was he correct. You know, it kind of reminds me when people say you will benefit greatly when your house in your neighborhood isn't the most expensive or the biggest house. Your equity goes up when you live with homes that are greater than yours, bigger or more expensive. Doesn't mean you're less. It just means that when you're around that, find your community of people that are going to set the bar higher. Let me put it another way. When you desire to be a 10 and you're hanging around 2s and 4s, most likely you will become a 3 at best. When you desire to be a 9 or 10, hang out with people who are 9 and 10s. You have a really good chance of being a 9.5 or a 10 yourself. I remember my Taekwondo instructor telling me, you can have the most gifted person and someone who has to work at it because it doesn't come naturally. But if the gifted person is unteachable or uncoachable, and the one who has to work at it is, who do you think is going to succeed? It's the one who is teachable and coachable. That is the one who will succeed every single time. Partnering in growth with people makes that growth happen exponentially in your life and in the lives of others. Here is something to remember that a dear friend taught me. You are the sum total of the people you spend the most time with. Well, going back to my Taekwondo instructor, she would always tell me, you weren't called to be mediocre. You weren't called to be a mediocre average martial artist. She saw potential in me I never thought I could. She pushed me. She yelled at me. She called me out. Yes, she even made me cry. But she saw the greatness in me. She saw my potential that was there, and she knew exactly how to pull it out of me because she experienced it herself. And she had all those things drawn out of her, which made her a champion. And she became one of the greatest role models in my life and pulled out some of the best qualities in me, which later helped me fight one of the toughest fights of my life, beating cancer and overcoming all the adversity I experienced in my life. Chris Vallotton says, when you find your people, you will find your purpose. My prayer is that now as I continue to grow and succeed, I can be that mentor and coach to you as I share a few key steps that have helped me be a champion in this life. It's all by the grace of God, and because of His grace, He sent me the best of the best in everything I faced in life. I sure hope this key step encourages you. Find your people. If you don't know how, ask God. That is exactly how I met every one of mine. Not by my doing, but because He placed me where I need to be to connect and grow with my people. So we are in the home stretch. This next key I won't spend a ton of time on. And if you want to hear more about this, you can go to my teaching on renewing your mind. But it is huge in my success of becoming healthier. And that is key number 11, speak life. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. It's time to stop self-sabotaging ourselves with our negative words we speak over ourselves. Our words create a pathway to a healthier way of living and succeeding. I really began implementing this key into my life after my diagnosis with cancer. I would not accept a declaration of death. So I went to the Bible, God's word, His truth, and I looked up every scripture on healing. And I began declaring those truths over my life. From that, I have learned to speak life into every area. I cannot tell you when I began doing this, it was as if a light shined brightly on how often I was speaking negatively over myself and others, family, friends, people I never met but encountered on a daily basis. You know, those people in the same line as you at the grocery stores or driving on the road in front of you. You get my drift. I encourage you to begin speaking life over yourself, your family, your situations, and watch the change you will have in your spirit, soul, and physical body. If you have a debt that needs paying off, speak life over it. If you need restoration in your marriage or with a child, a friend, speak life into that area. If you are struggling, believing that you matter, speak life over yourself. Finally, we are at the 12th step to a healthier you. I left this one last on purpose because it's actually the most important key to a healthier you. And key number 12 is to put God first. Honestly, without Him, what is the point of any of this? I want to read a passage of scripture to you. Most of us are familiar with Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, which says to seek first the kingdom of God and everything else will be added to you. I want to read the Message translation of this and let it wash over you like a new spring rain. What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax, to not be so preoccupied with getting so you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way He works fuss over these things, but you know both God and how He works. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Finally, give your attention to what God is doing right now and don't get worked up about it, what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. I'm not sure. In fact, I know I could not have said that any better. The first 11 steps I have shared with you are a result of step 12, putting God first. When you can give God your entire attention, all your mind, all your heart, all your soul, and all your body, He will equip you with everything you need for the situation, circumstance, and season that you are in. God wants us healthy for the long run. Life is a marathon, not a sprint. And you and I need to be healthy physically to take on tasks Jesus has given us, to run your race and run it well. I'm not saying that these 12 steps are the only way of becoming a healthier you, but they are steps I have taken and implement in my life, and they work. Life is a journey, and it begins with the first step. I encourage you to take the first step by beginning to implement these key points into your everyday life. My prayer for you is that you will become your very best, that you will become a person thriving in every area of life, soul, spirit, and body. So here's to a healthier you.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Andrea Thompson. Our desire is that through our resources and tools, you will be inspired to take action and move towards overcoming any obstacle in your health and in your life. For more encouraging resources or to connect with us, visit us online at andreathompson.org. Remember, don't wait for tomorrow. Get started today.